Welcome, welcome, curious souls, to the Macabre Emporium, your sanctuary for the unusual, the mysterious, and the appalling.
Step through our cryptic doorway into a world where secrets whisper and enigmas come to life.
I'm David.
And I'm Sarah.
Together, we're your custodians of the macabre, guiding you through tales that defy the ordinary.
Discover the untold stories, from lesser-known cases of true crime to the bizarre events that captivate us.
Join us on a journey to the shadows where the mainstream fades and the extraordinary beckons.
So whether you seek the bizarre, the eerie, or the chillingly obscure,
you're in for a treat here at Macabre Emporium.
Welcome back to Macabre Emporium. This is episode 67.
And if this is your first time joining us and you didn't melt from the previous heat wave of the last week, welcome!
Welcome!
So, we went and saw Right Here, Right Now this past weekend is... If you heard that thud, that was everyone's favorite Captain Sticky Beans, a.k.a. Legosi jumping off one of the shelves behind me here in the Emporium. But as I was saying, we went and saw the ghosts Right Here, Right Now this past Saturday, and that was super fun to watch.
Yeah, entertaining for sure.
And... you don't care if you like Ghost or not. It was still fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, oh, it's Scooby-Doo metal. I don't care. That's the whole fun of it.
Yeah.
You know, once you get past that, they're not trying to be super serious. And also, they're not classified as metal by American terms. Like, Volbeat isn't also. Even though they're, you know, by American metal terms, they're classified by European terms.
I still don't get the Scooby-Doo
thing. It could be because of... like, Kiss the Goat, Mariana Cross could be why, because it does remind me of, like, some Scooby-Doo music.
Because it was supposed to be done in, like, the 70s?
In the 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was listening to some Ghost earlier this week at work, and I kind of hear the whole Scooby-Doo thing with some of the stuff on I can't remember the one. It's got the one with Cerise on it, Mummy Dust, whatnot. Some of those songs on that album, I can hear it there. And then some on probably their first album, too, could be why some people say that.
I don't know.
But anyhow.
It's good music.
Yep. Just seeing the whole concert film with that. And it was also more confirming for you and I that we need to go see them live.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we keep wanting to, but it always ends up being a time when it doesn't work for us.
Yep.
So hopefully. Also, it was also a 2.5 hour, you know, teaser for the next era of Ghost, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think we could spoil it since it's only a one weekend thing only?
No.
No.
Those that didn't get to see it don't. Well, they won't find out until it's announced.
Right. And plus that post credit scene that left so many people upset in the theater with us and were like, bro, really?
Right. Even I was like, the fuck?
Yeah. So was I. But it's like, you know what? That's Tobias Forge for you.
Yeah.
So hopefully he doesn't reveal, you know, the next era before this episode comes out, because then all this is going to be irrelevant at that point.
Yeah, it is what it is.
So what do you have for this week? Oh, wait, it's my week.
It is your week.
Even though technically it was supposed to be the combined episode, but it was just so damn hot here in the room we used to record in.
Last week was supposed to be the combined episode.
Yep. And the room that we normally record in was way too warm. Our air conditioners here couldn't keep up.
Satan's taint. That's how hot Satan's it was taint, in here.
Even though that's not a place we want to be comfortable with.
No.
Ever.
No.
Even though we're a little bit spooky and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I wasn't happy with the way it came out, and I tried doing noise reduction, and it made it sound like we were using carbon microphones, and I was like, nope, not doing it.
Yeah.
If we were doing like an old-timey episode of some sort, yeah, but no. So you're upset with me about that, sorry, I'm not putting out something that's gonna sound terrible.
Yep, you'll have to wait 2 more weeks for the together episode. Yep.
But for this week, because of that heat wave we went through, it reminded me of a story.
Oh yeah?
Mm-hmm. And a story from our favorite era, actually.
The Victorian.
Yep, the big stink. But before we get to that, what do we got? What's the first thing we do after that?
On this day. Not on this day.
Yes.
Today in history.
On this day.
In history.
Yep. So.
History of today.
Of June 26th.
Today is that day.
So this very first one that, you know, usually is a birthday, kind of, I guess you could say, hit home with me because, you know, this past weekend was the local jazz festival.
Uh-huh.
And because of this one, I had to put it in here.
Can I guess who it is?
It's not a person. It's a song.
Oh, okay.
Technically.
Okay.
Well,
never mind then.
It is a person, but a song that they wrote. But anyway, for June 26th on this day, singer-songwriter Chris Isaak was born in 1956 in Stockton, California. Isaac is best known for
Wicked Games.
Yep. And why I wanted to make sure I put this in here.
Dave Bennett.
Yep. Dave Bennett, because before he started to take off because of the, you know, the jazz festival here, some of us in an after party, he came and hang out with us and brought his guitar with him. And he actually played Wicked Games on his guitar in a hotel room with us.
Yeah.
And sang the song too. And it's like one of my favorite memories from when I did volunteer for that.
Yeah.
The movie Stripes, starring Bill Murray, John Candy, and Harold Ramis, premiered in 1981. Stripes was directed and produced by Ivan Reitman. Stripes is a military comedy about two buddies who join the army and end up almost causing an international scandal with their hijinks. 3 years later, Murray and Ramis would go on to create one of the biggest movie franchises, Ghostbusters, in 1984 with Ivan Reitman.
Huh.
Elvis Presley's last performance at Madison Square Garden in 1977 in Indianapolis, Indiana. 18,000 Elvis fans were in attendance, and the final song of his performance was Are You Lonesome Tonight? This is also where the catchphrase Elvis has left the building originates from. The original phrase is actually, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building, is what the announcer actually said. But I'm sure sometime in your life, somebody has said to you, it's been in movies, Elvis has left the building. This is that performance where that catchphrase comes from. A marker with a time capsule is near where Madison Square Garden once stood, and is intended to be opened on June 26, 2102. Letters from fans, tour photos, and performance recordings of Elvis on cassette tape are inside this time capsule with this marker.
And when is it supposed to open?
June 26, 2102.
Oh, we'll be long dead by then.
Boxer Muhammad Ali fights Japanese wrestler Antonki Inoki in Tokyo in 1976. Billed as the War of the Worlds, the fight would end in a draw. Due to a lot, this actually could almost be its own episode when I started looking into it. But the professional wrestler spent a majority of his time actually on his back laying kicks into Muhammad Ali.
Oh.
And then they also had to make their own separate rules for this match, since it was a boxer versus a wrestler. So you can almost say it's the world's first MMA fight or UFC fight. The Supreme Court declares the Communications Decency Act unconstitutional on a 7-2 vote. This act sought to control the content of the internet to keep pornography from minors.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck, Chuck.
Even though, I guess, as of July 1st, I've seen that some states, they're going to ban access to Pornhub unless you, like, enter your driver's license information. And it's like, fuck that. I'm not giving my information, like a driver's license, into a server database for anything fucking like that, other than the state ones that actually require it.
There will always be free porn.
Oh, I know. And you know what? There's always a way around shit like that. You can have a VPN. There's always going to be free sites. It might be from Russia, and you might get a computer virus from it or
Mom's
whatever.
Credit card.
Yep. But anyway, if there's a will, there's a way. I mean, look at video game hackers. Their hacks get banned. They change the coding. It works again within hours.
Yep.
It's just an example. I know there's other things that are way worse than a video game cheat, but it was first thing that popped in my head. Fashion designer Liz Claiborne dies in 2007 in New York City due to cancer that affects the lining of the abdomen. Claiborne became famous for designing reasonably priced quality clothing for the modern working woman.
Oh.
And that is our On This Day for June 26th.
On This History and Things.
On This History and Things.
Yep.
All right.
I had to get history in there one more time.
So, like I said at the beginning, the heat wave this last week reminded me of this story when we learned about the Necropolis Railway in episode 35. With the huge population boom of London causing massive outbreaks of cholera and smallpox, but what I didn't go over was just how bad it more than likely smelled due to centuries of waste pileup inside the city and in the river. And this caused an event called the Big Stink.
Okay.
At the beginning of the 19th century, London homes had outhouses or privies for our UK listeners and drained into cesspits. And when they would start to overflow, the runoff would enter into culverts that were connected to the city streets, even in the major streets of London, basically. But, you know, since there's so much waste anyhow, this waste would actually also start to seep into the soil and into the foundations and basements of homes, businesses, any structure around the city of London. And then, you know, this is a time when there's, like, horse-drawn carts, everywhere. People riding on horses. People just using the bathroom in the street in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what you see in the movies, it's kind of like how it was, but they're not having people pissing on the street or anything. But, you know, that'd be another added freaking detail, basically. But because of all the soil saturation into basements and homes, the sewage flooding back up into basements because of cesspits, this would also cause methane gas to get trapped in these basements and quite frequently exploded.
Oh, no. Could you imagine having your house just fucking boof?
Yeah.
Because of...
A fart bubble collected in your basement?
Big old fart bubble. You ever fart and it bubbles and it scoots to the front?
Not that I can recall off the top of my head.
Oh, what would you call him for a guy?
I don't know, because I never really thought of that before till now. What would you call it?
For a guy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about it for a woman, though?
Snapper clapper.
You heard it here first. It's called a snapper clapper.
But what would it be for... Sorry, we're way off topic. But please let me know in the Facebook group, what the fuck would that be called for a man?
Right. Or, if you're a woman, what do you call it? And if you don't want it to be attached to your name, go ahead and post it anonymously. We will still approve it anyway. Even though we'll know who it is. But we won't out you.
Maybe.
Unless you're known as Noodle.
Or Tyler.
So whatever waste that did make it into the sewers emptied into the Thames River, which also was a major source of drinking water for Londoners.
Ugh. That's like drinking out of the fucking Flint River.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, no, sir. I didn't like it. No, thank you.
Yeah, no.
But as also we learned in our previous Victorian episodes with the Industrial Revolution came the huge population boom from 1 to 3 million residents of London, which caused the need for the Necropolis Railway to be built.
Right.
Because the bodies being stacked on top of each other. So, you know, you're getting that human soup seeping into the ground too, plus this.
Human soup.
Yeah.
It's my least favorite soup.
I almost call it human chili, but we like chili too much, so I didn't want to ruin it for us.
Also, you brought up chili, but there's 100 more days until Halloween. You're welcome.
Not like she's counting down or anything.
Well, as of this episode, there will be 98 more days.
Okay. Well, like as I was saying, with the Industrial Revolution, there was the huge population boom, which caused, you know, the dead to rise, caused the human soup, basically, to also sleep in the ground. So this, all of this, plus the sewage, was creating a recipe of disaster, I guess you could say, for massive outbreaks of typhus, cholera, yellow fever, etc., so on.
Yeah. Is typhus the same thing as typhoid?
No.
It's different.
If you want to go back to know what typhus is, go back and listen to, I don't remember the episode number, but the bathtub riots, because that's when I talked about typhus.
I felt like you did.
I did.
I couldn't remember.
Because I brought up the difference between typhus and typhoid.
Well, fuck me.
In that episode.
Okay. I'll have to look it up.
So with the Industrial Revolution also brought along a new technology, flushing toilets. Which also became more of a luxury item at this time, even though we take it for granted for today, because we live in an area where everybody, basically, well, almost everybody, if you live in a more populated area, has a flushing toilet.
Yep.
Which this also meant no longer having to go to the basement to use the bathroom or pay the night soilsman to haul it away for them. So this is one job I did find after we did our Victorian episode. And their main duty was to carry away any human waste that was left outside of homes in buckets or to empty their cesspits. Ugh. And they would empty these buckets or these cesspits they were hired to empty into a wagon after dark. They worked at night partly due to the now debunked medical theory known as the Mesema theory that bad odors cause illness. And Victorian doctors really laid heavily into this whole theory as actual truth until it was finally debunked during these times also.
Mm-hmm.
One John Snow that actually did know something, he actually removed a handle from a community water pump to see how much of a difference of an impact that not having that water source made in the area. And it actually made a huge difference. And that was one of the credible things that he did find, that, you know, bad smells aren't causing illness. This, you know, tainted water, contaminated water is causing these illnesses.
You said this one John Snow was his name for real, John Snow?
Yes, his name. It was Dr. John Snow was his name. So that's why I said a John Snow that actually did know something.
Oh. Well, you know nothing, John
But this one knew something.
I guess.
In a majority of places, they were ordered to work at night so they would not offend the public with the stench coming from their wagons as it was carted off to farmland for fertilizer. But as cities grew, the demand for night salesman removal went up, so did their prices. But with this new technology, flushing toilet also comes new problems. Most homes were built without flushing toilets, and the ones that did would empty into sewers connected to the Thames River. In areas in deep poverty, you know, were still relying on cesspools by 1856. London had about 200,000 cesspits around the city, and sometimes would take up to 6 months to be emptied, or if at all, because of high prices from the night salesman or the landlords not caring. So yeah, imagine that, plus whatever excrement runoff from industrial waste and all other things going on in this time. Just how bad Victorian London probably really smelled.
Like, okay, I know how bad it smells when we go past, like, the sewage treatment plant down there. And when we go past the dump down there.
Right, or the winds from the south coming from across the dairy farms not too far from us, you know.
So I cannot even begin to imagine how much worse that would be.
Right. So one of the things that they didn't really take into account when they were flushing their toilets into these sewers that were meant mostly for rainfall, was they were now putting water in there. So now the system is starting to be overloaded because it's not designed for waste in the first place, but now it's all being flushed.
Yeah.
You know, and this is also where we also learned about the Tashers. They're getting washed away in all of this too. Because remember, they're down there looking for valuables that, you know, either fell down a drain or got flushed away.
Yeah.
And because, you know, now that they're making poop soup with the water added into these cesspits also, if it wasn't connected to a sewer already. Also, with these newfounded problems, their cesspits would also start to overflow more often than usual in these homes, causing disease outbreaks because of the water getting in there. So now it's filling up more because now there's just not solid waste for the majority. Yeah. In them now it's a mixture of water and waste. So eventually these pits would finally get connected to the sewer system for rainwater that emptied directly into the Thames River as well. And this has been going on for centuries, basically.
Gross.
That they're just dumping all their waste into the Thames River. And why they just dumped it into the Thames River was they were under the belief of that it would all be washed away to sea. Well, the problem is with the parts of the Thames River, especially parts around the London area, it's known as a tideway, meaning that it was affected by the tides of the ocean, so all that sewage over the centuries was being pushed back into and pulled back out of the river, depending on the tide of the ocean.
So it was just coming and going all the time.
Yep.
So they were like, hey, let's just put all this, like, in the fucking ocean.
Yeah.
Let the ocean deal with it.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking, that it just washed away. Well, like I said, it's a tideway.
Yeah.
So it parts of the Thames River is affected by the tide waves of the sea.
Yeah.
So it's basically coming back in and then it's getting pulled back out.
Right. But their whole thought behind it was that they're just going to let it go through the river and out into the ocean. They were okay with polluting the ocean.
Yeah, because they didn't care, you know, in the 16th, 17th century about it. It wasn't their problem.
Yeah. That's fucked. And that's why our oceans are the way they are. That's why we have mutant fucking creatures.
Nah, I think that has to do with more modern problems than things from medieval times. Even though they did believe that the ocean was taking the waste out and bringing it back in, there were some concerns about how polluted the river was getting. A scientist named Michael Faraday described how polluted the river was in a letter to the Times in July 1855. In his letter, he described the river as being a brown, opaque fluid, and to test how opaque the water was, he dropped wet pieces of white paper into the river that every stop that the steamboat he was riding on would make. So from what I understood from his description from his entire letter I read, it, he would wet the paper so it'd sink faster, so it'd be more like a bobber, basically.
Okay.
Is his little paper experiment worked. So when he dropped these pieces of paper in the water, he noticed that only the top part, like I just described to you, would be sticking up out, can be seen near the surface, and the rest of it couldn't be seen.
Like that's how nasty the water was.
Yeah, from he did this on a sunny day, so he could see what was going on. So he could see part of the top, and that was it.
That's gross.
He also noticed that the flatulence rolled up in clouds so dense they were visible, and I couldn't help but imagine this being green in color like it would be in cartoons. I don't know why, when I was researching this, that's what popped in my head.
This is an Attack of the Dead Men. There's no green fog.
No, but that was... Well, I'm sure this fog would actually probably kill, but not at the same rate as the mixture that the soldiers of Osovich Fortress had to deal with.
You breathe in enough methane, you're going to die.
Right.
Like Darwin Awards, there was a dude that actually died in an airplane toilet because he had so much gas and he let it all out, and being stuck in that tiny bathroom, he died in there.
And I think they also tried to debunk that on Mythbusters at one point, too.
And?
I don't remember. That was like one of the very like first episodes of the series.
Oh, well, whatever.
He even stated in his letter that he found the smell near sinkholes much sweeter than that on the river on the city streets.
Ew.
Yeah, that's how bad this river smelled. There was even things that were brought up in newspapers that people would immediately throw up in close proximity of the river as well, too, just because of how bad it smelled.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine.
You got to remember, this is like centuries of all waste being dumped in there because, oh, the ocean, the river will carry it out to sea. So by 1858, the grounds beneath London were saturated with sewage from the sewer system that wasn't designed for human waste, and all the medieval wooden water pipes are now being replaced with iron pipe. In a population growing to 3 million, along with the introduction of flushable toilets to more citizens, would soon become a huge problem for London. In June of that year, a heat wave hit the city and a dry spell almost stopped the river from flowing. The temperature in the shade was anywhere between 93 to 97 degrees Fahrenheit and 118 degrees in the sun.
Fuck that. Ugh. My guts are turning just thinking about the smell that was wafting out of that fucking river.
Yeah.
No.
The summer heat with the dry spell caused the water to fester more than usual, and soon the entire city of London smelled just like the river. The upper class blamed the stench for making them sick, and people miles away from London also claimed they would vomit from the smell if the winds changed direction, blowing the stench from London into their towns.
I mean, that I can get, because you know when we get out of a car somewhere, like in Amish Town,
yep.
And I'm like, ugh, and you're just like, oh, you fucking get used to it. Like, that is as not long a as smell I could get used to.
As long as you've been here, you should be used to it by now.
Very much not used to it.
And it's like I said earlier, too, even, you know, in the ones south of us, if the wind coming out of the south, we still smell that here.
Yeah.
People did try to avoid the smell by using scented handkerchiefs on their faces, but this provided to not be a helpful solution. But I'm sure with all that dumping of waste in the river for hundreds of years,
No.
A scented handkerchief is not going to do any help. Not even the Queen Victoria and Prince Albert could avoid the stench. While trying to travel down the river, she would keep a bouquet of flowers to her face, and the stench overpowered the flowers, and she only lasted minutes before ordering the boat to be turned around and docked. And I did try to see if Prince Albert was in a can to avoid the smell, but I couldn't find anything. She's just shaking her head at me because it took her a second to process that.
Say it again.
And I did try to see if Prince Albert was in a can or not to avoid the smell.
Prince Albert was in a can?
Yeah. You never heard of the prank call? You got Prince Albert in a can?
No.
You better let him out.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No. Some people. That's why I was just like, didn't get it.
All right. Anyway. Joke didn't land like I was hoping it would with her.
Hell no.
Hopefully it does with some of you.
Hopefully it does, because didn't with me.
So the press started to refer to this as the Great Stink, or the Big Stink, depending on how you look this up. It came up with both ways. The city press observed, gentility of speech is at an end in stinks, and whoso once inhales the stink can never forget it and can count himself lucky if he lives to remember it. A writer of the Standard said that the river is a pestiferous and typhus-breeding abomination. But, you know, old-timey language, who knows?
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised I got the first quote out with the way that was written. The leading article... What?
I said I'm not.
The leading article on the Illustrated London News commented that We can colonize the remotest ends of the earth. We can conquer India. We can pay the interest of the most enormous debt ever contracted. We can spread our name and our fame and fructifying wealth to every part of the world, but we cannot clean the River Thames.
Well, yeah, because it's jam-packed with shit.
One of the efforts that made to get rid of the stink was using chloride of lime. It is used to disinfect drinking water, pool water, and wastewater, to sanitize equipment and soil in contaminated areas, as whitening and bleaching agents in textiles, leather, pulp for paper, and paper industries, and more recently as a strong oxidizing agent to neutralize certain hazardous products. Exposures to chloride lime can cause redness, pain, and corrosion in the eyes and skin, corrosion and abdominal pain if ingested, and respiratory irritation and coughing, and is very toxic to aquatic life. And this comes from the official MSDS sheet for that, and even they didn't have anything listed for long-term exposures. Other than it's toxic to aquatic life, but it's still going to fuck you up if you...
Well, I can't imagine if that's the list of short-term effects.
Yeah,
that was, long-term would be.
That was all short-term effects, but there was nothing listed on the MSDS sheet.
Probably for, because nobody made it past short-term effects.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
They probably got aid immediately, but long-term effect use of it probably.
They got aid from the plague doctor.
Yeah. But this was from a modern MSDS sheet because, you know... Victorian times, it's like, it'll be fine. Just use it.
What's a MSDS?
Material Safety Data Sheet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but we call them just SDS. So I was like, unless what's MSDS?
That's the new
Safety Data Sheets. I know what that is, but the M threw me off.
I don't know. Maybe that's a more office-setting name for them. But anyway. Parliament tried to cover the stench from the river using this chloride of lime by treating the curtains, and it wasn't successful. They discussed moving government business to Oxford or St. Albans instead of dealing with the stench, but that was shut down. At the height of the stink, 200 to 250 tons of chloride lime was being spread on the foreshore of the Thames River during low tide, but after years of dumping anything and everything in the Thames, the stench still took control of London. And this was very expensive, as they were spending about £1,500 in, you know, British currency, not actual weight. Or about $1,900 in U.S. dollars in 1855, and I completely spaced on inflating it for this week.
No inflation calculator!
Nope, not this week. I dropped them all on that one. June 15th, a bill was proposed to amend the 1855 Metropolis Management Act to extend the powers of the Board of Works to clean the river and the main drainage sewers of London. In the opening arguments for the bill, the river was referred to as a stagnant pool reeking with ineffable and intolerable horrors. It took only 18 days to pass this bill to borrow £3 million and pay back through taxes to build a sufficient sewer system to deal with the problem. Civil engineer Joseph Bazalgette was hired to build the sewer. He planned to build 1,100 miles of additional sewers for collecting both rainwater and sewage, and they would run parallel with the river instead of into it, to a point of the river where it would be flowed out the sea and not back into the river. So his plan was to build these actual modern pipe systems to go beyond the tide wave sections of the Thames River to actually be dumped into the ocean to not be possibly pulled back in by the tide.
Gotcha. So they're still like, fuck the ocean.
Yeah, pretty much. It also included wastewater treatment plants and river embankments to prevent further waste from building up. And inside these embankments is where the pipes for water and sewage pipes would be housed. And alternative sources of fresh water being like outside lakes and, you know, ponds and other things like that further up river.
Yeah.
Or things that were used in this plan to bring in fresh, clean water into London. His sewer system cost roughly about $3 million to construct, or £237,000 for our UK listeners. Bazalgette had this system already designed 2 years before when he was hired to find the solution. And when he did calculate this sewer system from one of the Reddit threads I did read about this, one of the users did say that he doubled what his original calculations were on this. Oh. So he kind of, I guess you could say, future-proofed the sewer system in London. Yeah. With his new sewer design, the Thames River would start to clear up, but would still be dangerous, as in 1878, the SS Princess Alice collided with another ship, causing 650 deaths. The press raised the question if any of these deaths could be attributed to how polluted the river still was. Deaths in the city from cholera outbreaks would plummet, even though an outbreak did occur of cholera in the east end of London, but this section was not connected to Bazalgette's sewer system. His sewer system is still in use today in London.
Huh.
And they are still having issues with his sewer system now, because obviously it's way bigger than 3 million. Now, I didn't think to look up the current population of London.
So even now, they're still like, fuck the ocean.
Well, not so much. You gotta think there's probably now modern sewer systems. There were also sludge boats were used to take out a lot of human waste. And the first one was actually named the SS Bazalgette in honor of him. And it was in service until like 1998. And I forgot what the year starting year was, but it was close to 100 years in service because they started using incinerators instead.
Oh, dang.
Even with his sewer system still being in use, even though the sewage can still be smelled today when the system is at capacity at overflow points along the river. So more than likely, his system was designed, if there is a backup or overflow, it's still going to go in the flow in the river because it does need to go somewhere.
Oh, that would make sense.
One of the original pumping stations that was brought up, they came up with this. It's actually a really gorgeous building once they restored it, which is really weird for just being a municipal building.
Mm-hmm.
Is like had very ornate ironwork done with it, and they redone all the paint on it.
Huh.
And it's currently, they're trying, because of its historical significance, they're going to be restoring one of the original pumping engines, and there's like tours done in this building and whatnot because of its historical significance to London. Even though it still has its time of being polluted, some of my sources did say this is still actually one of the cleanest waterways through a city in the world. Probably because there's certain limits that can be reached.
I wonder if that's why they made it look so yucky in Assassin's Creed.
Well, yeah, because in the Assassin's Creed series is very accurate to history.
Yeah.
And that's why you basically would die if you fell off one of the boats because of how polluted the river was.
It makes sense.
Yep.
Shit water.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because they had never really thought about it until now that you brought it up. This is
I remember it looking very nasty in the game. Yeah.
But some of the things they did find in the river was like dead bodies, industrial waste, human waste, you know.
Clearly.
Runoff from all that stuff. But to close this out, so just remember, no matter how hot it gets, just be thankful we have AC, clean water to make ice for your drink to cool down with, and we don't have to deal with the big stink. Unless you live in a farm country like we do.
And by the dump and by a fucking sewer treatment plant. It's so funny. And I know it's not David, but every time we go past there, my face like distorts because of how bad it smells. I'm always like, did you fart?
Not
every time.
True, because they don't use the open pit anymore. They got rid of it.
Down here?
Yeah.
I still smell that when I go
probably
by.
Probably not nearly as bad as you used to.
No, but it's still bad enough to make my nose go.
That spot's probably so saturated from over the years now that it's going to be similar to this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make the assumption that what you smell driving waste treatment plants is what they were smelling, but on a much larger scale.
Yeah, probably. And you, because I hate that smell so bad. I just like going past. No, I don't like going past it, but going past it and being like, did you fart? No. Why do you think every time we go past here that it's me?
I know. Every time. She knows it's coming. And she knows what it is. And she will still ask me that. Even not the one that we drive past all the time. Even
just,
other
just
ones.
Out of stupidity. But to be fair.
One of these times I'm going to just say
the one over by my old work.
Yeah.
I did not know that was there until you pointed it out. I didn't know it existed.
Well, and that
I was
one's did you super fart? Small. That one's super small compared to the other ones in the area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the great stink of London.
You know what I thought of it?
That it smelled.
It was great.
You thought it was great because they keep teaching all these weird history things now that you don't normally hear about?
Victorians, man.
I'm sure there'll be more later on down the road from either one of us.
Oh, I hope so. I have a book right there that's going to be utilized.
Yeah. One of these days.
Yep.
Like the other books that we bought.
Yep. They'll all get utilized.
It's just a matter of when we actually want to do them as an episode.
Yeah, true. And on that note, I think it's time we close the Emporium for today, David. What do you think?
I agree.
Till next time.
Remember to keep it real.
It almost sounded like a question. Okay, bye. Please go and check out our website at macabreemporiumpodcast.com. Join our Facebook group by searching Macabre Emporium. Like and subscribe on YouTube at Macabre Emporium Podcast. Follow us on TikTok at Macabre Emporium Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Macabre Emporium. If you have any stories of the paranormal, your local true crime, or weird history that you would like us to look into and possibly do an episode on, email us at macabreemporiumpod@gmail.com. And remember to follow, rate, review, and share whenever and wherever you can to help us grow our podcast.